So we've been exploring the perfection of energy, of the Bodhisattva. And we're in the midst of that exploration. And tonight we're going to be focusing on a wisdom of the Buddha Amoghasiddhi and the Buddha Tara. And this is called the all-accomplishing wisdom. So the evening's going to be just a slightly different structure tonight, because I'm going to start the evening by talking for about 10 minutes. And part of this wisdom involves relaxation, openness. So I'm just going to invite you to sit however you want, just relax. I'm going to do the work at the beginning, and then I'm going to invite you to put some effort in. So just sit relaxed. As a preparation before we meditate, and you can just listen a bit about this wisdom. So, I'm going to start just saying something about it. So it's called the all-accomplishing wisdom, or sometimes the action-accomplishing wisdom. And it is this the wisdom of Amoghasiddhi and Tara. And Amoghasiddhi's name actually means unobstructed success. So it's action that is unobstructed and it's successful. It's continuously successful. It's also energy that's unstoppable. It's liberated energy of the enlightened mind. So it's spontaneous. It's altruistic, it's compassionate, and it can move in any direction, whatever is needed, this way, that way. And there is an association with both Amoghasiddhi and Tara with the air element, because air can move in any direction. So it's action that's just totally versatile. It will respond wherever needed in any direction. And it's all, it's the whole of the being is behind that energy. Because sometimes when we think, you say the word wisdom, you think of something possibly maybe a bit heady or intellectual. But this is about the whole being. It's a wisdom that is just the whole being moving in pursuit of the good, energy in pursuit of the good. Unstoppable. So that's like in words trying to describe something of the enlightened mind, which is very, very difficult. So I'm gradually just going to try to step down a bit to our level. First of all, I'm just going to make a transcendental step down we're going to step down to the level of the energy is continuous towards enlightenment, and it's energy that it's like you can't fall back. So a being whose energy is moving towards enlightenment in a state where they can't fall back, they can't change their mind, go off in another direction. It's just ensured that they'll move towards enlightenment. So this is actually a point on the spiritual path that we can all work towards attaining. And it can be, sometimes it's translated as the awakening mind, the point where the mind awakens towards enlightenment. Sometimes it's known as the arising of the bodhicitta. This is also translated as the will to enlightenment. So like your will is just totally going towards enlightenment. And it could also be the point of stream entry. And there's a sort of visual side to that name, because it's like you've entered a stream that is heading towards enlightenment, And as I say, you can't fall back. You're just, once you've got it into the stream, at that point, you will just travel towards enlightenment. So, time to step down to our mundane level. So, it's like, if we're going to enter that stream, I'm afraid we don't have any choice but that we have to make an effort. If we're going to get anywhere near this spontaneous, all-accomplishing wisdom, from our place, we have to make an effort. But we can also sort of get in the little streamlets and be receptive to this movement towards enlightenment. So it isn't all our effort. So I'm just going to give you an example from my own practice, just to, yeah, from our level. So this example, I could say, was an example of a mini insight, right? So this is insight with a little I. Insight with a big I, it's like you don't fall back from it. Once you've had that realization, it continuously affects you. But insight with a little I is you maybe have a realization, but a few days later it's starting to wane and you find yourself falling back again. So this is insight with a little I. Basically, it was a weekend and I woke up feeling really low. Sort of like griefy low, with lots of sort of sorrows on my mind, and they were sort of going around my mind, but also I felt physically just very, very low. I didn't want to get out of bed, but actually I decided that I would get out of bed and I would do my Tai Chi practice outside to just try to come into relationship with the world outside. So I went and did my Tai Chi practice. It felt like I had lots of resistance to just moving, but I did it. Then I came back inside again, and I thought, oh, I think I could manage about half an hour's meditation, so I'll just try and sit a bit. And all I could do, really, because I was full of all these sorrows, was just gently sort of come into relationship with my breath and my body. And just try to relax a little bit. But I kept being distracted by these thoughts. But after about 20 minutes, suddenly a thought arose from within me that I sort of hadn't had that thought. It just came up that I thought about a friend, and I thought that she was about to have an experience where she might feel loss. So a sort of spontaneous thought of empathy for another person just came up. And that helped to sort of lift me out of myself a little bit. And then it was like I connected more universally with that everybody loses. Everybody all the time is going through things that are pleasant, pleasurable, that we like. But constantly we're losing things. And sometimes they're just little things. You know, we've just had a nice time with a friend and then we go off. But sometimes they're bigger things. And that everybody's going up and down. So I was seeing just everything going up and down. It seemed very transparent and sort of insubstantial. And I was sort of, my being, I suppose, was still searching to try to get me out of this sort of low state. And then I had another thought, and that thought was, you can always act for the good. So another thought just came up, that even if you're feeling really low, even if you're feeling ill, you can always act skillfully. You can always act for the good. Because even, let's say, you're feeling ill and low, you can be kind to yourself. You can develop some metta, some kindness. Every moment has that possibility. You can always act for the good. So that thought came up, and that thought just completely, it was like, lifted me out of the depression. Because in a way it was like, oh, there's all these things going up and down, and you're losing, gaining, but you can always act for the good. So it was something substantial. Whether it was a weeny-tweeny little flash of the all-accomplishing wisdom, or just something entering me, but I completely, for the rest of the day, there was no trace of depression. It was quite an ordinary day, but it was like, wow, something happened. So in that experience, it's like there are two elements which we're going to be exploring tonight. And those two elements are that basically you have to make an effort. So I made an effort to do Tai Chi and to meditate and to face my experience. But also, the second element is that there is spontaneous sort of positivity and growth that came into my experience that sort of helped me. So it wasn't all my own effort. So we're going to explore those two things. And there's another side to this wisdom. It's like the story of the 19 or the 20 blows. It's like, if you imagine there's a great big lump of rock and it hasn't got a crack or a flaw in it. And a woman picks up a great big mallet and she gives it a blow and nothing happens. It just carries on staying. It's totally flawless, no crack. So she picks up the mallet again and she gives it another blow. Nothing happens. Third time, a great big blow. Nothing happens. So she keeps going like this for 19 blows. The rock is still totally intact, no cracks or anything. But then on the 20th blow, she picks up the mallet, pounds the rock, and it splits. Now it's like, did those 19 blows help the 20th blow, even though there was no crack at all? But it did, it split open on the 20th blow. So it's like all the efforts of the 19 blows, they are important, but we don't know that point when the rock is going to split and we actually will, in spiritual terms, experience insight, irreversible insight. So there's a mysterious side to this all-accomplishing wisdom. So we're also going to hopefully maybe enter the mystery a bit. And so here we've got a forest, well, symbols of a forest. And in the middle of the forest is sitting a wee little Buddha, Amoghasiddhi. And that little pot of shoots, I grew myself, and I'm not a gardener at all, so it took a bit of effort. It's like I had to find a pot, get some earth, put the seeds in, and then it was like total magic, because I'm not a gardener, it was like, wow! And they started to shoot up. And there's something just so beautiful and magical, I suppose, just about the growth in nature. And it's natural. And this is an aspect of the all-accomplishing wisdom, that there is growth towards the light. In terms of a plant, it's towards the sun. In terms of us, it's towards growth and development and enlightenment. So there's this natural growth that we can just be and grow, as well as make effort and grow. So we're going to bring this into our practice, and we're going to start by doing a metta bhavana meditation practice. So I'm going to just invite us to, sometimes I know myself, I don't do the five stages and I wander off here and there, but just to really invite everybody to do the five stages tonight. because there's that aspect of communal practice that is supportive. It's also a bit mysterious. Many people say that they benefit from meditating with other people. And we're a room full of people just opening and wanting to grow. So if we're all doing the same thing at the same time, we're doing this practice of the Metta Bhavana, maybe that will support our practice. So I'll do a short lead-in, just to lead in the practice. Then I'm going to read a few verses from the Bodhicharyavatara, and then we'll do a five-stage Metta Bhavana together. Then we're going to have a tea break, and then we'll come back for more exploring of the all-accomplishing wisdom. So this is the point now where I invite you to set up your meditation posture and prepare for making... We're going to make an effort as well as be receptive. Okay. So, we're going to explore the all-accomplishing wisdom now, following three verses from the Bodhicharyavatara text, from the chapter on the perfection of wisdom. So I'm just going to read one of those verses and then tell you what we're going to do. One should look forward to society or a given task with the motive, how may I practice the discipline of mindfulness in these circumstances? So what this is pointing to is that if our energy is going to be free-flowing in every direction, we need... the conditions of our life in every direction to be free for us, for that energy to flow. So we're going to look at... The verse was, how may I practice the discipline of mindfulness in these circumstances? So we're going to be looking at how can I practice ethics, meditation, practice growth and development in my life. And we're going to do this first of all, just sharing a bit in pairs. So I'm going to present a couple of questions, and then you can share with a partner whatever feels comfortable for you around that question. And I'm going to mark the stages of the sharing with clashes of symbols. Now, the reason I'm going to do this is that Amoga Siddhi... I'm not going to say much about this because this will probably be explored on another evening, but just that there is an association between Amoga Siddhi and symbols. So it's a bit of a mysterious sound. So how it's going to work is that I'm going to say what the question is, and then I'll clash the symbols, and then one of you can have decided beforehand who is going to share first. And you'll just have a couple of minutes to share with your partner, and then I'll clash the symbols again, and then the other person will have a chance to share. And then there'll be a clash of the symbols at the end, and then I'll present another question. So there are going to be three questions. So, if you'd all like to just find a partner and just sit so that you can hear one another. Close enough so you can hear one another. Actually, you could come with me. That's all right. You could come with me. Yeah. If you'd like to bring up those... You can bring the mat if you feel more comfortable. Okay. Do you want to come a bit nearer, otherwise I won't be able to hear you? Okay, great. So, does everybody know who's going first?
And the question?
I'll give you the question once you know who's going first. Okay, I'll go first. So the question is, in what way does my lifestyle support my spiritual life, my spiritual endeavours? So in what way does my lifestyle support my growth and development? Okay? 2 minutes. Okay. Second question coming up when you've finished off. So, what areas of your lifestyle limit your spiritual endeavors? So, what areas of your lifestyle limit your ethical practice and your energy in the pursuit of the good? So you might want to think, well, are there any areas of my life where I can't move in every direction and still be practicing? So off we go.